Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you could turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. I want us to look at Hebrews 5:1 for this teaching on maturing. And I'm just going to read quickly, for real, until I get down to the part I want to teach tonight. Hebrews 5. For every high priest being taken from men is appointed on behalf of men and the things respecting God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sins, being able to fill and do measure for those not knowing and being led astray, since he also is circled about with weaknesses. So basically the way the Hebrews, Israelites did this, their tradition, what God placed on their heart in the Old Covenant was they would have a priest who would go in and represent them, and he would have to give offerings, and usually it was blood offerings from animals, and go through the rituals so that the people's sins could be forgiven. And because he himself was human and he had his own weaknesses, he could go in with compassion. He could go in and really know how difficult it can be not to fall into sin, how difficult it can be to live in a world that is fallen. And it says, because of this, Hebrews 5:3, because of this, he had to offer for sins concerning the people and for himself. So he was constantly offering up in these rituals, Lord, please forgive us for our sins, and some animal would be the blood offering. He says, no one takes the honor to himself, but he, being called by God, even as Aaron was called. So also the Christ has not glorified himself to become the high priest, but he's speaking to him. The Father says, you are my son, today I've begotten you. So the Heavenly Father chose for Jesus Christ for the Word to become flesh, dwelt among us. We call him Jesus. Yeshua is his name in if you were speaking in the language of that time. Yeshua became who is the Son of God, came, and the Father sent him specifically to be the high priest for the people. So he was chosen by God to be our high priest, which means to make sacrifices for our sins. Okay. So it also says another place that he was a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Study Melchizedek. He actually showed up in the Old Testament, and he was someone without a beginning or end. So it more than likely was the Lord revealing himself before he became Jesus Christ, before he was known as the Messiah. He actually walked the earth as a high priest. It's kind of interesting. It says, who in the days of his flesh was offering petitions and entreats to him being able to save him from death with strong crying and tears and being heard for his godly fear. Though being a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And having been perfected, he came to be the author of eternal salvation to all the ones obeying him, having been called out by God as the high priest. And when you look at this, you're looking at where Jesus really cried and even said the torment was so strong that he actually had blood coming out of his forehead when he was asking the Father, could we do this another way? I don't want to drink this cup. I don't want to be separated from you, God. I don't want to taste grave. I don't want to taste hell for the people. Is there some other way to obey you? Is there some other way for this to be done? And the Father said, no. And so Jesus in flesh, okay, so he had the flesh thoughts of knowing this is going to be very, very painful. He had the same fear of dying and being separated from God that man has been held slavery to until Christ took it. And so he was really had all of the fear that mankind could ever walk in, come against him. And in that place, he said, God, I don't want to go through this. Father, I don't want to go through this. And the Father said, no, we're walking through this. We're walking through this. And so Jesus suffered in that, and he was perfected, or he was matured to this place that his flesh did not win. His flesh did not win. And so Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, really entered into being the Son of God in a powerful way. We know he came from God, but he chose to stay the Son of God that day. He chose to walk in his identity as the Son of God. Okay, so it goes on. It says, concerning whom we have much discourse, and it's hard to interpret or to speak, since you have come to be dull in hearing. Now, this is a part I want to talk to you guys about, those watching, those who will listen to this. We need to quit being dull of hearing. And maybe we're going to see what it looks like to be dull of hearing. And then when I've been reading this and praying, I will tell you, a lot of people here at Beauty for Ashes has become dull at hearing. And I was praying about it and asked the Lord, the Lord just told me, he always encourages you with what progress we've made, but then he shows you where we need to go. And that's how your walk with God needs to be. If your walk doesn't include a Holy Spirit showing you where you've come from, what he's brought you through, how pleased he is with certain areas of your life, then I question if you're hearing the Holy Spirit. That's how the Lord speaks to us. That's how Jesus, he's an encourager. But then he tells us what his expectation is, what he is hoping for. And let's face it, you can look at the church everywhere, but especially in America, you can look at the church in Hampton Roads, the people of God, and we're not doing what should be done. Our state would not be in the predicament it's in. Our cities would not be the way they are, right? So it's like we need to recognize he's talking to us, and he says, you become dull of hearing. And so I'm asking the Lord, open our ears. And so few people are, are even coming out for Friday night prayers or Friday night meetings, and people are home. More people are watching maybe not even filthy, thank God, but boring or not things that just entertain their brains and doesn't change their spirit, doesn't really train them up. And the Lord's like, you've become dull of hearing. And he goes on, now this is how you can tell if you've become dull of hearing. For indeed, because of the time, by now you should be teachers. By now you should be teachers. You should be teaching the word of God. You should be living out the word of God. He doesn't just say to those who are called to be teachers, he's talking to the believers. He's talking to the believers that have been believers for longer than a few months. And he's saying, you should be teachers by now. Yet, you still need someone to teach you again the very beginning of the words of God. You have come to be those in need of milk and not solid food. For everyone, now here's a key, everyone partaking in milk is without experience in the word of righteousness, for they stay an infant. And so if you're not living this in a day-to-day basis, I just want us to wake up. I want those watching to wake up. I want those who are asking God, what's next? And God is not about us just having the American dream and spiritualizing it. He's not about us getting, I want this and I need this and I need this money and I need this done. That's not what he's about. He's about us dying to self and revealing Jesus. And we're all going to stand before him, whether we have a fivefold ministry call or not. We're really going to stand before him on that day. We're going to get rewarded according to how much we yielded to him and we're led by him. Jesus is so clear that one of the concerns on the heart of the Lord, and I don't think we've done a whole lot about it personally, is the harvest is ready. So yay, revival's coming. The harvest is coming. People, the harvest has been there. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, there's no problem with a harvest. There's plenty of harvest. There's no laborers. There's no one who will go and do what Holy Spirit wants done, which is save souls and then disciple souls. Not just save them and then they fall away, not just save them and they look just like the world and remain infants, but to go and disciple them. He says, everyone, and he's telling them, he's rebuking them. He goes, you want to hear the same things again. There's another scripture, you want to hear about baptisms. You want to hear about faith. You want to hear about how to get free from dead works. You want to hear about, these elementary things and you're not ready to go on to the meat. And he says, you keep needing milk, but you don't want the solid food. Well, I have to tell everybody, we are a solid food ministry. And that may be why right now we're going through a season where the church isn't that full, because everybody wants milk. They want to go to, I call them the nurseries, So I'm just letting people know, if you're living in the Hampton Roads area, if you're really ready to get some meat and you really are serious about standing before the Lord one day and seriously hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant," if you're really serious about death to self and life in Christ and walking with God and hearing God and knowing God and enjoying entering into the rest, the place where he just flows through you, then that's what we're about. You know, we're really about training people up to glorify God. Training people up to glorify God. People who only want milk, they don't have experience in the world of righteousness, and they remain an infant. So we should have experience. Let me see. I'm going to read how it's written in the Passion Translation. "For every spiritual infant who lives on milk is not yet pierced by the revelation of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, whose spiritual senses perceive heavenly matters. They have been adequately trained by what they've experienced to emerge and understand the difference between what is excellent and what is evil and harmful." And so some people have yet to realize the reason the church is so lacking in understanding what's happening in our nation. Politically right now, the Antichrist spirit has gained so much ground in the United States, and he's gained so much of it because of the filth that's in the church, the immaturity in the church. What you see in a nation is in the church. The racism being stirred up is in the church. I'm not saying every church. Our church has tackled this thing straight on. We're a very interracial church, and we really have dealt with this, but most people don't. And why? Because they hang out in baby food, and they're not able to discern and walk in truth and know who they are in Christ Jesus. They're not experienced in the word of righteousness. It says, "Solid food is for those who are grown, having exercise as a habit to be able to discern between good and evil." God wants us to be those who actually live in a place of recognizing, okay, this isn't from God. This is from God. What do we do here? How do we pray here? How do we see this? How do we not see this? And one way you get to that place is to recognize that you need solid food. And you need to begin to experience the things of God. You need to live in a realm where you experience the same of God. So when I was talking to the Lord about, you know, Beauty for Ashes, our church here, And I said, "Lord, you know," and the Lord says, "Cindy, remember when you first started this journey in ministry and you called it," and he called it Beauty for Ashes, "and there'd come worship and everybody would sit there and just look around." It's like people didn't even have a connection to the headship of Christ to worship. People were so beat down. People were so hurting, because the Lord brings us a lot of people who are coming out of very painful situations or in painful situations, and people who have very difficult backgrounds and things like that. And so the Lord's like, I'm looking at everybody going, "Lord, I'm worshiping and dancing and full of joy. And I'm looking like, Lord, where are the right people?" And the Lord said, "Make them the right people, teach them." Well, then the Lord's reminding me today, look how when worship happens, you know, when those lights go down around here, you have people dancing, you have people hollering, you know, and rejoicing, and you have people moving in the gifts. You have people who come up and prophesy. You'll have people who pray. I mean, and people will run up for altar calls in 5 seconds. You know, before, you know, if you did an altar call, nobody would come up. But the Lord said, look, the people have really learned to worship. So that's true, Lord. That's really true. And then look at the people going to different conferences. We actually have some not here tonight because I know they're at a different conference. And the people have really gone forth, and they're hungry, and they're learning, and they're going to different things. And I'm like, oh, that's true, Lord. You know, we've really done that. And so he said, so now the place to be is for people to begin to really do the ministry, to begin to walk into doing the ministry. So we need to see that here at Beauty for Ashes. And those who are watching and those who are being mentored, to be mentored, go to beautyforashes.org and go under partnership. So the link at the top, when you hit that, there'll be an international mentorship or international partnership. Go there. If you're watching this from outside of the U.S. of A., if you're within the U.S. of A., go to the other partnership link, and it'll tell you exactly how to be a part of being mentored. We're getting ready to have a retreat just for the mentorship for the ladies. Just the retreat. if you were just paying for the retreat, it almost cost you what it would cost for a year of the mentorship, which is $20 a month. And the website is awesome. If you haven't looked at it, go and look at it. Find out what it is that's going on in your life, where you need to be refreshed, where you need to hear teaching that maybe you didn't catch the first go round, or maybe it's going to stand out to you different. And really go and spend some time just being discipled. Really go and say, you know, I need to understand everything about this. If you're dealing with situations with unsaved loved ones, then go and look at everything on there about unsaved loved ones. If you're really ready to step out in ministry, then go on there and look at everything on there about ministry and healing the brokenhearted. Really train yourself up, because you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to be held accountable. He says, to him's given much, much is required. Well, I'm not boasting, but this, we preach pretty much three times a week, and sometimes 2 or 3 hours, and we have conferences, and there's no way, if you go to Beauty for Ashes, you can say that you were not trained. There's no way you can say you didn't hear the word of God. There's just no way. I mean, we preach the word. We actually preach the word of God. We don't do little sermonettes and feel good messages, unless the word of God gives you a feel good message. Amen. But we really preach the word of God. And if we ask people, which we're going to do some on this Friday night half hour mentorship, encouraging people to come and be a part of Beauty for Ashes, we're going to get different people to begin to share their testimonies, okay? You overcome by what Christ did, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of your testimony. And so we want people to begin to share with people. We're going to help you begin to step out and to do the works that the Father has for you to do. And until you step in faith, you won't even understand that. And you're going to be, and most of you really have learned to discern. I mean, it's amazing. We could have someone come in who's really messed up, and not intentionally, but in areas where their doctrine's off, in areas where something's wrong, people discern it. That's amazing. So we've really gotten to a place, and there's a lot of people watching, and a lot of people who will be watching this, and you're like, wow, we don't do any of that. You know, I'm not used to learning how to discern, and I'm not used to really walking into these things. And well, then the Lord's asking you, pray, ask Holy Spirit, do I need to be a part of what God's doing at Beauty for Ashes? Because this is our season to fill this place up. This is our season to literally begin to watch people come in through those doors. And I know the Lord is going to bring people who are so hungry to go and minister, and some of them are going to have to sit down and mature before they get to go forth. And then there's going to be those who thought God could never use them, you know, and the Lord's going to begin to show you, I want to use you now. You know, you've heard enough, you've walked enough, you need to start praying for people. And so one thing I'll share with someone I've been talking to, who's anointed, loves God, has come through a lot of different things. You can almost get, if you're not careful, you can almost get dependent on somebody ministering to you instead of connected to the headship of Christ and just obeying him. And you're not going to be completely mature and perfect before you step out and start to minister. God is a God of increase. You step out where you are. I encourage people not to step out till you're not in blatant sin. Deal with blatant sin issues. I don't want somebody praying for me who's in blatant sin. I'll just be honest. I don't want you laying hands on me. I don't want you trying to prophesy into my life if you know that you are struggling with an issue that would take you to hell. So I'm not into kidding around. But most people are past that, and most people are at a place like, you know, my life has changed. God's changed my life. I have testimony after testimony. He's done so much for me. And it's time. It's time to begin to walk in that. Some people will not get to the next place he has for you until you begin to do something with what you have, with what he's given you. He's a God of increase. And so I'm talking to one person, and this person's had, they were at a meeting about a year ago, and Mahesh Shavda, there's probably about 500 people there, and he did not know this person's name, and he said, there's someone here, and he gave the first name, and she was the only person there with that name. And then even in his prophecy, he mentioned their last name, which is pretty cool. And basically, it was real short. It was like, you know, like God saying, I'm not going to give you another long word. Let me just tell you, your ministry has started. So I was talking to this person recently, that's been about a year, and I said, well, your ministry started. What did you do this year? Nothing. Took a minimum wage job to make a little bit extra income, la-di-da-da around, you know, fix their new house. I said, well, what part of that is your ministry? So you took 1 year of where God prophesied your ministry has begun, and you didn't do anything. I will say they did one thing in that year. They did go overseas, and they got to preach, which was awesome, and minister one time. I think they may have gone another. They may have gone to Hades, too. I know they went to Uganda. And so it's like, so what did you do? And I've been talking to this person, and we've gone over there, if you want to say, things they have done successfully. And so I want to share with you how you can see what has God prepared you that you can do. Everybody's not going to be in fivefold ministry. This person has a fivefold ministry call. They just need to walk in it. Many of you don't. Those watching don't, and some of you do. Some of you do, and you don't even know it. But look at what you do. So I was talking to this person, and successfully, this person has very good organizational skills for business, like scheduling things. And this person has raised money. This person has raised money for where she actually worked for a while at a pro-life pregnancy center, and actually was able to raise the yearly amount of money to keep the place running, and organized silent auctions and dinners and did quite a few things, was able to go talk to people and get support. Pretty impressive what they had done. And before this person has had organized a retreat, that was very successful. And quite a few people came, really amazing success for their first time doing a retreat. And this person has spoken at various places and given their testimony, and well-received and powerful. And so this person's pastor now told them, you know, I want to continue to disciple you because you have a call in your life, and opened the door and said, you know, if you want to have something here at the church or conference or something, the door's open to you. So we're looking over this. I said, look at all the things that have been successful. They also do videos that have been successful, but they're not consistent. They do a little bit, they do it here and there. And I am not talking, they know I'm going to use this example. And some of you would be saying, wow, I wish I had done that much. Well, the Lord probably does too if you're called to it. But you need to stop and say, what have I done that I know God was in? What have I done? What skills do I have that I know God has blessed me with? And that is your ministry. Get rid of the idea of a platform ministry. Get rid of the, go read the book of Acts. You don't see them standing on many platforms, except when they're cutting off their heads or hanging them. Amen? So get rid of the Hollywood version of what ministry is supposed to look like, and begin to look at where do I have a heart? What can I do? What do I do well? I mean, they go into prisons and preach the gospel, sometimes arrested and in there. You know, there's nursing homes that need people to come in and share the gospel. There's kids who have after school who are in danger these days with all the crazy trafficking in our nation, that would be nice to have safe place that they could go after school. One thing I was talking to this person about, I'm talking to you all, quit connecting ministry with making money. That motive will cause so much mixture in what you're doing that God will not be able to trust you with much. It could possibly even take you to hell if you were successful. The love of money is the root of all evil. So a lot of people wait till there's money in it, then we'll do it. Well, you can't wait till there's money in it, or your motive is wrong. You're actually then just taking your skills, and instead of applying them in the world, you're applying them in the church, but you're doing it so that you have a job. Can I get an amen? Okay, and that's a big problem with the church. That's what we even look at and esteem. Oh, look at them and how much money they make. And the Lord's not in any of that. The Lord's like, what have I given you to do to be a minister of reconciliation? What have I given you to do that's going to change lives? And many of you can sit there and say, well, I know in my own family, I've seen where prayer has worked. I know my own family. Well, that, praise God. I tell you what, one thing I know for sure, when I get to heaven, it'll be awesome to see all the lives that the Lord's allowed me to impact. But I definitely want to see my kids when it's all said and done. you know, and everybody's up there, and I want to make sure that they're there, and my any daughter-in-laws and grandchildren, right? So that's not a small thing. There's different seasons, but even in that season, you need to realize that's that season, and you need to pour into that season. You need to go out of your way in that season to make sure that you're raising your children, if you're the influence in your grandchildren. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those are all ministries. Those are all ministries of reconciliation. And then, of course, if you have a job, then you're to be light there, and you need to see, what can I do and how do I do this? The other place you need to begin to step out is, what needs to be done? There's a scripture, I was reading this, and it's a scripture where there's holes, they get enough money, but it's like they never have enough money. It's like holes in their pocket. You know that scripture? Do you know why there's holes in their pocket based on that scripture? Because they do their own thing about their own home, but they don't take care of the church. You know, when this church first got this building and we got going, everybody showed up. And people worked and gave, and it was just such an awesome, blessed place. And people's lives were really blessed. And I'm not talking to those necessarily who are here. I'm talking to those we need to pass this on to, amen? And to those watching and those who go to other churches, there's something powerful about saying, this is where God has placed me. This is the house he's placed me in, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to serve there. I'm going to serve there, and I'm going to be a part of what God wants me to do there. And then God blesses the people, and he blesses the place. And I'm asking God now, send more people who have that heart. Send more people. You know, as he shakes things and things fall where they fall, I pray that anyone who's left this church will go and find a church and begin to serve. The enemy has done everything he can to make us selfish and not serve anymore in the church and run to this and run to that. So wherever God has placed you, serve. Serve. Use your gifts and the things he's given you and come up with ways to serve. Amen? You're not necessarily serving the pastor. I really don't need anybody to serve me. I'm carrying my own books, and I can handle my life pretty good. I'm pretty healthy. But there's plenty that needs to be done here. There's plenty opportunities to just say, you know what? I want to start we have a mother's group. We have a lot going for a small ministry. Praise God. And some of you need to step into some of those places more and see what he has for you. But you need to say, God, show me how to do this. What do you want me to do with this? How do I do this? And recognize he sees all that, everybody. He really sees that. He says, we need to serve this house. If you're having trouble with your finances and there's never enough money, according to his word, one of the reasons could be is because you take care of your own stuff, but you don't take care of his house. And so I believe the Lord's going to bring us back around. We were all so blessed when everything was about getting this house in order and getting this, and everybody showed up. It was an amazing season. It was an amazing season of unity. And I'm thankful we don't have that season again right now. I'm thankful we're not having to build from scratch and do spiritual warfare against the city saying we couldn't have a church. And I'm thankful for that. But when I look at the parking lot outside, and I know after the last week we had so many people show up, that everybody had to actually use the parking in the back. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you can't even use this parking. So my prayer is we need work days again, but we need work days where people show up besides the same people who show up for everything. And so, you know, we're going to have to get back into this. How do we build this place? How do we show up? We've got the Christmas event coming up. What a big event. And I just encourage everybody, find some things to donate. We just were told tonight by one person that they're going to donate a brand new, one of these kind of things, tablet. And what a great door prize. Somebody's going to love winning that. And so this is the time to begin to say, Lord, how can I serve? How can I serve your house? How can I serve this vision? And then God's going to bring people to serve your vision. I'm preaching this right now to somebody I'm thinking of who doesn't understand why God never brings anybody along. They can't get, they've got a lot of things going, but it never goes anywhere. You know what? You haven't really served anybody's vision. When I think about it, you go from church to church and place to place, and where am I happy today? And where do they make me happy tomorrow? You know what? Start serving somebody else's vision, and God will raise up people to serve your vision. And if you don't have a vision, that's fine. Maybe you're called to somebody else's vision and that becomes your vision. But everyone should have vision. The Bible says his people perish without vision. You need to have a vision. Those listening, those watching, get a vision. Go talk to your pastor. Go talk to the different heads of ministry or however they call it at your church or your where you go and say, how can I help? What's the vision of this department? What's the vision of this? Bring your vision. If you have a vision, let's say you have a vision for children's church, or you have a vision for the worship, or you have a vision for the shut-ins, or do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody look up. Y'all look like you're scared. No. When you have a vision, maybe it's for the house God's already brought you to. And you just have to come and share your vision. And say, I don't know, I have this vision. We need to get rid of this. I've got to go do my own thing. Everything that really matters is God's thing. Amen. Amen. And he's so clear. He wants his house put in order. Find out what it is that he has for you to do with that. I mean, there's so many different things people can do. You could, you know, if there's people who go on the mission field, you may be someone who can help with their kids, help with their houses, help with whatever. If you're someone who has a really good job or extra money set aside, you could help pay for some of that or buy someone their airline ticket. Does everybody get what I'm saying? It's like, get the Lord, what am I supposed to do in the house that I'm in? The Bible's really clear, and the Lord warns, in the last days, people will do whatever but not gather together. They'll watch on the internet. They'll go to a conference here or there. And I'm telling you, God is going to call people back to get in a place where they can serve him and serve his house and have vision. Amen. And then from that vision, the Lord may give you a vision. And in that vision, you'll have people who will come alongside you and support you. It doesn't have to divide another vision. Amen. And then be a part of helping with that. Does that make sense? But if you stop to see, well, what is it that I do? What is it that I really do that God makes easy for me to do? That's something that I could do. What do I have a vision for? I mean, I just believe God wants to put this place together the way he wants to do it. I think we're in a brand new season of the Lord building this house. Amen? And I'm glad personally it's not all about painting and construction and getting permits and all. Whew, thank you, Jesus. It's about beginning to see what he has for you to do. Maybe he's given you something specifically that you'd love to do. Or maybe you're someone who loves to come and help someone else do something. And so we need to pray about that. We need to ask the people who are watching this, you know, find a church. We're at 487 Denby Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia. We'd love for you to join us. But get connected with vision. Get connected. Don't wait until there has to be a shaking in your life and your family, and then you're desperate and you come back to church. Get before the Lord and say, Lord, show me how to serve you. We're his slaves, people. He's the master. We're his slaves. And he's like, you know, it's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time to need meat. And it's, I think so much of what happened in the last move of God, which praise God for it, was to stir us up to want visions, to want dreams, to want to hear the Lord, to want to feel his presence, right? But there's something that is required of God giving you all those things. And that's that you are going to pour it out. You are going to be changed by it. You're not going to enjoy it as an entertainment and something to puff yourself up. It becomes a life of serving, a life of being a servant. Jesus proved that over and over when he, what did he do? He fed the people when they came to the meetings. You know, he would serve, he would go into the temples and the synagogues, and he would read the word, and he would go through whatever it was until he was kicked out that he was supposed to do. And so I just think God wants to get us to be meat eaters. Amen. How many want to become meat eaters? Really meat eaters. And so we are so hungry for the meat. Well, you know what? You're not really hungry for the, let me say this, you're not qualified for the meat until you begin to walk in discernment of what's good and what is evil. Until you're ready to begin to step out and do something with what he's given you. And the Lord's like saying, you know, I want to see people. The other thing the Lord really showed me, like for Beauty Fresh, is wow. Talk about a group of people, at least those who got hungry, who've learned to pray. I can't even think of any intercessor group in the nation that I would call to pray like I would call here. I mean, these people know how to pray. So we went from, most people went from, I don't know anything and I feel so bad about myself and my life and everything, to knowing how to worship. How awesome is that? To knowing how to pray. How powerful is that? And everybody says, I feel like people are in this place, I don't know how to go any further and I don't really have a desire to. Well, you know what? It's because God's trying to find out and test you to see, do you want the meat? Do you want the meat? Do you want the intimacy? Do you want the greater revelations? Do you want the authority and the power? If you do, begin to walk in discernment. And if you do, begin to walk out and do something and get vision. And it's awesome if your vision, if your vision connects with somebody else's vision. Actually, all visions should connect with somebody else's vision. And it should all be the big picture of what God wants to do right now. And so we just want to encourage those who are watching. We'd love you to come out to Beauty Flashes. Our Sunday service is at 10 o'clock is the actual service. I don't know why we call it a service, but we serve you. But whatever God wants, they've been going about 3 hours. So I'm just warning you, and in a good way. And our last Sunday service, that was 4 hours. And it went so fast. When you're really in the Holy Spirit, it's amazing how fast 4 hours go. And I just love now that the kids just come over and join everyone and everybody just keeps going and God keeps doing his God thing. And so we've already decided 2 hours probably is just not going to work around here. There's just, we love worship and the worship team, God's really anointing the worship team and restoring the worship team and bringing others to be a part of the worship team and flowing a new song and people are coming up and prophesying and ministering. And so that could easily go an hour or more. But then anybody knows me, I can't teach less than an hour and a half, really two. It's just the way it is because it gives me. And then you want to pray for people and minister to people and prophesy over people. We want to do what he wants done. Amen? And he's going to cause more and more people to be a part of that. You know, I can't wait till we get to look like we're in Corinthians. The church, the people were so excited about the gifts and moving in the gifts that he had to say, okay, we're going to limit this to, you know, three to prophesy now. And we're going to, it's not like rules. That's like his overseership saying, okay, with what's going on, we got to stop. What does it mean? Everybody wanted to prophesy. How amazing when the Holy Spirit is moving and the people get so hungry that they want to share what God gave them. They want to share that revelation. They want to be a part of it. And I think we're kind of at Beauty Flashes crossing over, thank God, thank you, Jesus, into people wanting to come up during worship and share what God put in their heart and wanting to pray for people and see what God wants. And so it's kind of a really exciting time here. And I just believe we're in the very beginning stages of God putting together an apostolic church the way he wants it done. Amen. So I want to thank those who do come out on Friday night. I want to encourage those who are watching from home. Friday nights is when you need to come and really become equipped, trained, pour out, minister, so that Sundays when you come, it's really Holy Spirit's ready to bust forth and you're ready to move into all that he has for you. I encourage everyone, get some vision. Don't try to make a ministry that has to be outside of what he's doing here. If he shows you that, fine. He would have already put a lot of that together. He's got so much he wants to bring here. And then guess what? You don't have to go find your own building. We have one. You don't have to get your own sound system. We have one. You don't have to go find your own worship team. We have one. Amen. We've got, you know, building until you get so big you can't fit here. Then we'll all follow you to the conference halls or whatever. Amen. Just quit thinking in terms of having my own business and instead think in terms of, Lord, what is it that you want me to do that you've already provided a place for me to do it? Lord, not only provide it, people wide open saying, please come and minister. Please come and be a part of and see what God wants. So I just want to encourage those who are watching. If you are so tired of waiting for someone to say, please come and join with our vision. Please come and begin to do what God's put on your heart. Yes, we're going to have to know you some and we're going to have to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. But we're here to encourage people to walk out. I think we need to all come in agreement with Jesus. It's time to develop laborers for the field. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more next Friday. How do I go and become a laborer right where God has placed me? And then we're going to pray about that and look into that and see, how do I do that? You know, how do I go forth and do that? So God bless you guys. We're going to get ready now here at Beauty Flashes to go into some intercession and prayer. And so we thank you guys for joining us. Check us out at beautyforashes.org. Come this Sunday morning. We'd love to have you join us right here, Beauty for Ashes, 487 Denby Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia, 23608 at 10 o'clock. God bless you guys. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.